The third parak builds on the concepts that we learned in the prior parak. In fact, before we do Mishnah Aleph, we're going to hark back to the first Mishnah of the prior parak, Parak Beis, because we're going to be building on that. So the Mishnah says there, Kol Hazvachim Shekibel Daman Zar, if a Zar who is a non-Kohen does the Kabbalah. And the same thing applies not only to the Kabbalah of the blood, but also the Holacha, and also the Zrika. Those of our four stages, if a non-Kohen did stage 2, 3, or 4, that Korban is going to be invalid, because it has to be a Kohen who does the stages 2, 3, and 4. However, stage 1, which is the Shechita, is kosher bizarre. That is kosher even for a non-Kohen to do. Why is that? Because the requirement for a Kohen is only mentioned in the Pasuk when it discusses the Kabbalah and thereafter. But before the Kabbalah, which is stage number 2, in other words, for stage number 1, Shechita, it's kosher for a non-Kohen. So we're going to go back now to our third parak, Mishnah Aleph, Kol HaPsulin Sheshachatu Shechita San Kshera. Those psulin that we mentioned in the first Mishnah in the prior parak, if they did the Shechita is going to be acceptable. Kshashchita Kshera Bizarim, as the Mishnah spells out explicitly, Shechita is kosher with a non-Kohen, not only for a male, but also Benashim, also women, Uba'avadim, an Eved Kanani, also kosher to do the Shechita, even Lechatchila, Ubetmeim, even somebody who is Tamei would not be Lechatchila, that would be Bidyevet. Now, the Tamei is not allowed into the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shechita has to be done in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, so in fact, that Tamei, the person who's impure, would actually have to stand outside, have a long knife and do the shechita while the animal was on the inside of the azara. In any case, the Mishnah continues, afilu b'kodshei kadoshim, this applies not only for the kodshei kalim, like a shlami, but also for those karbanos on the higher level of kedusha, like achatas and asham, all of these quote-unquote psulim that were possible to do the Kabbalah, the Holacha Nezrika, they indeed would be kosher if they did the Shechita. We have a proviso to this, when it comes to Tamei doing the Shechita, that Tamei has to be careful to not touch the meat, to not touch the emurim, the innards that would be put on the Mizbeach after the Shechita, because that would be metame them, and indeed that would make it invalid. So that would be problematic. But in absence of that detail, all of these others would be kosher to do the Shechita. Now, an important point of that is when somebody is kosher to do a certain avoda, and now we're talking about the Shechita, but we've seen the same apply at the other levels of the avoda, the Kabbalah, the Holacha, the Zrika. If someone is valid to do one of those avodas, that's the person that if they have the wrong type of thoughts, like the chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano thoughts. So chutz limkomo, they have in mind that when the korban is eaten, for example, it's going to be outside of the proper place where it's allowed to be eaten. Or they're thinking chutz limkomo that the emurim that are brought on the mizbeach is going to be brought in a different place. So that's a chutz limkomo. Or chutz lizmano, they think similarly, but it will be done at the wrong time. So the eating will be done at the wrong time after the allotted time, or the emurim will be brought on the mizbeach the next day, not in the proper day. So if somebody is valid to do one of those phases, and they have those improper thoughts, that invalidates the korban. However, if they are not valid, and we'll see this shortly also in the next Mishnah, if they are not valid to do an act on the korban, then they would not invalidate that korban for having improper thoughts. So let's get back to the ratio of the Mishnah where we're saying that we don't need a kohen to do the shechita. Accordingly, any of those individuals, if it's a non-Kohen, a woman, an Eved, a Tamei, lefichach hem poslim b'machshava, because they can do the Shechita. If they would have the improper thoughts at the time of the Shechita, chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo thought, indeed that would invalidate that korban. So continuing, how about the chulan shekiblu es adam chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo? Accordingly, if somebody is not valid to do a certain phase and they did it anyway. For example, if we have a non-Kohen who did the Kabbalah, or a woman, or an Eved, and did the Kabbalah, you need a Kohen for that, a male Kohen to do that. If they did the Kabbalah, and they had in mind the wrong thoughts, for example, v'kula shekibla sadam chutz lizmano v'chutz limkoma, and they had the improper thoughts, they had a psul of chutz lizmano chutz limkoma, if it were the Kohen who is valid to do the Kabbalah. And this would apply also for the Kholacha and the Zrika. And it was the Kohen that had those thoughts, those invalid thoughts, the chus utzman, the chus demikoma, that would make the korban invalid, as we learned in the prior parak. But if it's somebody who's not valid to do the Kabbalah, for example, a non-kohen, and but they had those invalid thoughts, that doesn't invalidate the korban. What they need to do is do the Kabbalah, if possible, by a kohen to make it a kosher korban. So im yesh dam hanefesh, if there is still dam hanefesh, this is the blood that will gush out of the animal, at the neck of the animal, right at the time of shechita. So if there's still that blood, that critical life blood, that would gush out at the time of the shechita, then a kohen can now do the Kabbalah. So yachzor hakashav yikabal, a kohen can now do the Kabbalah, and if there was that blood, and we have a kohen who did the Kabbalah, we can actually fix that the Kabbalah that was done. We actually have two problems. The Kabbalah was done by somebody who's a non-kohen, and we have that improper thought by that person. But in any case, we're saying that thought doesn't matter because that person who did the Kabbalah initially was not kosher to do the Kabbalah. So as long as we have somebody who's kosher, a kohen, to do the Kabbalah, and there's still that blood that is left, that dam hanefesh, indeed, we could do the Kabbalah, that kohen could do the Kabbalah, and we could save that animal, and indeed would be a kosher korban, and then that kohen or a different kohen could continue with the rest of the avoda on that korban. Mishnah Beis is going to continue building on the concepts that we just saw, but whereas at the end of Mishnah Aleph, we discussed a Kabbalah that is done by somebody who is a psul, is not a kohen, for example. And accordingly, we said that the Kohen can come in and fix that Kabbalah as long as there's the proper type of blood, the Dam HaNefesh. In our Mishnah Beis, we have the Kohen himself did the Kabbalah, but then did something improper with the blood thereafterwards. So we can actually have four different examples of this, and all of them are going to be examples of things that can be fixed. So it starts as follows, Mishnah Beis, Kibel HaKasher V'Nasan L'Posel. If we had a Kohen who was proper to do the Kabbalah, because we need a Kohen for that, and he did the proper Kabbalah into the Kli Sharis, but then he gave it to somebody who could not have done that Kabbalah, to Apostle, for example, a non-Kohen. So now we have the non-Kohen holding the bowl. It's simple to fix that Apostle didn't do any of the Avoda. The Kabbalah was done by the Kohen. Accordingly, Yachzir L'Kasher, it's simple that that Apostle should simply give that Kli Sharis holding the blood back to the Kohen. It's for the Kohen to continue doing the Avoda and not for that Psul. Number two example, Kibel Biamino, the Kohen did the Kabbalah properly in his right hand, but Minasan Lismolo, thereafter what he put in his left hand, it was done properly initially because it was done in his right hand. The whole Kabbalah went in his right hand in the Klisharis, so when he put it in his left hand, he didn't do any of the Voda in the left hand. So this is easy to fix again, Yachzir Limino, just give it back to the right hand. Third example, Kibel B'Kli Kodesh V'Nasan B'Kli Chol. Similarly, he did the Kabbalah in a Klei Shares, a Kli that was by the base of Mikdash, that was on the proper level of Kedusha to do the Kabbalah, and then he poured it into a regular bowl. This is easy to fix. Yachzir L'Kli Kodesh. Simply pour it back into the Kli Kodesh. And fourth example, Nishbach Mina Kli Al Haritz Ba'asafo. The Kabbalah was done correctly into a Kli Shares, but thereafterward, and only thereafterward, did it spill onto the floor, and then the coin gathered it back up and put into the Kli Shares. Again, because the Kabbalah was done properly to start with and it spilled there afterward, that is going to be kosher, that is going to be acceptable. The seifa of this Mishnah is going to change vein, and we're going to now go back to talking about an avoda that was done by someone who is a psul. So at the in the prior Mishnah, at the end of the prior Mishnah, we talked about a psul who did the Kabbalah. Now we're going to talk about a psul, a non-kohen, for example, who does the Zrika, and does the Zrika improperly. Now, before we get into the language of the Mishnah, we're just going to hark back again to the prior parak, the first Mishnah. And there we talked about a qualified Kohen, somebody who was kosher to do the activities, the actions, the Kabbalah, the etc., the Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. And there we talked about if a Kohen, a proper Kohen, did the Zrika, but he did the Zrika wrong. And we'll see the same permutations that we saw in that Mishnah. For example, he did the Zrika, but not on the Mizbeach. He did it on the ramp going up, or he put it in the wrong place on the Mizbeach, etc., etc. So there, when it was a Kohen that was doing this, we said that the Korban is kosher. The Korban will count for the person who is bringing it, But, and this is a big but, the meat that otherwise could have been eaten is going to be pasul, can't be eaten, and the emurim, the innards that would be brought on the mizbeach, can also not be brought on the mizbeach. That would be pasul. So that was talking about where we did had a kohen who was kosher to do the zrika, but he made a mistake. He blew it. He did it the wrong way. The korban is kosher, but the meat itself and the emurim are not kosher. Now we're going to talk about not a kohen who did the zrika in the wrong way, but a psul, for example, a non-kohen, a woman, etc., who did the zrika in the wrong way. What happens in this situation? So as we mentioned in the past, if it's somebody who's not qualified that does the action, it's not going to invalidate it, but we have to try to fix it somehow. So we'll see if that's possible with the zrika, because the zrika was already done. The blood was already spread. So nissa no al gabe hakevish. If we have a psul who is doing the zrika now, did it wrong, and instead of putting it on the mizbeach, put it on the kevish, on the ram. Shelo keneged yesod, or put it on a place on the mizbeach. So that was good. He put it on the mizbeach, but on a place of the mizbeach that there wasn't the yesod, there wasn't the base there. And when the zrika is done on the mizbeach, it has to be done in an area of the mizbeach that has the base going around the mizbeach. It doesn't go around the entire thing, so it has to be placed where it is. Nasan esanitanim lemata lemala, or if he did the zrika. And the zrika can be done, depending on the korban, is done either on the bottom half of the mizbeach or the upper half of the mizbeach. It depends which korban. And he switched it. And instead of doing the zrika for the korban, which should have been done on the bottom half of the mizbeach, he did it above. Vesanitani lemala lemata, or the reverse. He did, the zrika should have been on the top half of the mizbeach, and he did it on the bottom. Esanitani bifni bachus, esanitani bachus bifni, or he did it on the wrong mizbeach. Certain zrikas, almost all the zrika, because they're on the mizbeach, that's outside in the Azura, but it's a small amount of them are done on the mizbeach inside the Heichal, and he switched it, and he did the zrika on the wrong mizbeach. So in all of these cases, we're talking about somebody who is a psul, who shouldn't have been done doing the zrika, and did accordingly. We have the ability to fix it, because he wasn't qualified to do this. So, im yesh dama nefesh, in all these situations that the zrika was done wrong, as long as we have that dama nefesh, that's the same blood that we've referred to in the prior Mishnah, that's the blood that gushes out at the time of the shechita. So if we have the dama nefesh, yachsor hakasher v'yikaba, the kohen, who's kasher, can go and do the Kabbalah and get more of the dam, and then more of the blood, he can do the Kabbalah, and then he can bring that blood, do the halacha, to the mizbeach, and do the zrika on the proper place. So we have a way to fix it, specifically because the wrong zrika was done by someone who is pasul to do the zrika. Mishnah Gimel harks back to something we learned in Perek Bey's Mishnah Gimel. We're in discussing what the psul as chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo is. We explained as follows that it has to be that when somebody has in mind that he's going to eat something that's typically eaten, but he has in mind he's going to eat it in the wrong place or at the wrong time, or he has in mind about something that is typically burned on the mizbeach, that's called maktir haktara, and that would be the emurim, the innards of the animal. He has to have in mind that he is going to be maktir those emurim, but he has in mind, unfortunately, he's going to do it at the wrong place or at the wrong time. But if somebody has in mind, for example, when he's doing one of the stages of the avoda, that his psul, he's going to do something at the wrong place or the wrong time, but he's thinking about something that is typically not eating. I'm going to eat it, but he's thinking about something that's typically not eaten. Or he's thinking, I'm going to be mocked or something that is typically not brought on the mizbeach. That is not the psul. It has to be the psul is, I'm going to eat something that's typically eaten, but he has in mind that he's going to do it at the wrong place or the wrong time, or something that is typically burned, he has in mind, I'm going to do it at the wrong place or the wrong time. So we're going to build on that in this Mishnah, the next Mishnah as well. Mishnah Gimel, HaShochet et HaZevach Lechol Davar She'ein Darko Lechol. If somebody does a shechita on an animal, and he has in mind, Chutz L'Komo, Chutz L'Zmano, he has that wrong thought, but he has in mind, I'm going to eat something that is typically not eaten. For example, he has in mind, I am going to do it chutz lizmano. I'm going to eat something that is typically not eaten, like the emurim. I'm going to eat the emurim. That's not eaten. The emurim, I'm going to do it at the wrong place, at the wrong time. Or lahaktir davar shein darko lahaktir. Or he has in mind, I'm going to do the haktara. I'm going to burn it. But he has in mind, I'm going to burn something at the wrong place, at the wrong time. Something that is typically not brought on the Mizbeach. For example, the meat that's typically eaten, it's not brought on the Mizbeach. That would not be a psul that is kosher, because as mentioned, you have to mind, I'm going to eat something that is typically eaten. I'm going to be mocked or something that's typically eaten. And he didn't have that thought. But Rabbi Eliezer, Posel Rabbi Eliezer, based on his drasha of apostle, he disagrees. He says this is going to be Pasul as well. And now next concept. We're going to see three concepts in this mission. That was number one. Number two is in defining what is the psul of chutzlim komal chutzlis manu leachol davar shedarko leachol ulaktir davar shedarko ulaktir. This time he's got it right. Kind of right. He still has the wrong intention. He's thinking of chutzlim komo, chutzlis mano, but he's thinking, I'm going to eat something that's typically eaten. I'm going to be makdir something that's typically brought on the mizbeach. However, he has in mind pachos mikazais. He has in mind, I'm going to only eat less chutzlim komo, chutzlis mano, of something that's typically eaten, but less than a kazais. That's less than the amount. Or I'm going to makdir something that is typically brought on the mizbeach, but pachos mikazait, less than a kazait, less than the amount of an olive, that is going to still be kosher because he's not having in mind the shi'ur that would really cause the problem. That's the kazait. So this is clause number two that we're learning. And clause number three is le'echo kechatzi zayas ulahaktir kechatzi zayas. This is actually something that we saw in an earlier mishnah. If he has in mind his chutzlim komo uchutzlis mano, his psul, but he has in mind here, I'm going to eat something that is less than kazayas, and I'm also going to be mocked or something less, that is less than a kazayas. So here, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree, she'ein achila v'haktara mitzdarfim. We would not combine these two things, the achila, the wrong thought, the chutzlim komo chutzlim zgano about the eating, and the chutzlim komo chutzlim zmano of the haktara, these are not going to combine because he has in mind each one is less than the shear. We're not going to combine them to make them the shear. If it was achila and achila or haktara, haktara, we would combine it, half gazayas and half gazayas, but he has in mind here the psul of chutzlim komo chutzlim zmano or chutzlim zmano on a chetzi gazayas, on a half a gazayas, to eat it at the wrong place or time. And also he has in mind that he's going to be mocked or a half a kazayas. Also, chutzlis mano, chutzlis mekomo, we will not combine those to make this korban pasul. This will still be a kosher korban. Mishnah Dala builds on Mishnah Gimel, where we saw that if somebody has in mind during the shchit or the other phases of the bringing of the korban, that he's going to eat something chutzlis mano, chutzlis mekomo, or if he has in mind, he's going to be mocked or something, chutzlis mano, chutzlis mekomo, that applies, and we'll talk about eating right now, that applies if he has in mind he's going to eat something that's typically eaten. That's when that animal is going to be pusle. However, if he has in mind he's going to eat something that's typically not eaten, that is not going to be the psul of chutzlis mano, chutzlis mekomo. So now we're going to define specifically what parts of the animal are typically not eaten, either because they're inedible or simply they're not considered food. It could be edible, but it's not considered food. And if that's the case, if the person had in mind that I'm going to eat one of those parts, and he had in mind he's going to do it not in the proper place or not in the proper time, it will not be the psul of chutzlim komo or chutzlis mano. So the Mishnah says as follows. We have a whole list. Hashochet et hazevach le'echol kezayis mina or. If somebody does the shechita on the animal and he's having in mind chutzlis mano or chutzlim komo, he's going to eat of a kezayit of it from the hide. The hide is normally not eaten, not edible. Min harotev, or from the gravy that oozes out from the meat, that's not typically eaten. Min akipa, or if there are shreds of meat that are left over, for example, at the bottom of the pot, he spiced it in, and at the bottom of the pot, there are left some spices over, some garlic and onion, and a little bit shredded meat at the bottom that's not typically eaten. Min ha'alal, if he eats of the small little shreds of pieces that are left over attached to the hide, that's not typically eaten. Min ha'atzamos, inedible, the bones. Min ha'gidim, the sinews. Min ha'tlafayim, the hooves. Min ha'karnayim, the horns. All of these, if he had in mind he's going to eat these while he was thinking chutzlis mano, chutzlim komo, I'm going to eat these items outside the proper time, outside the proper place, it's going to be kosher. This is not going to be the psul that we've been talking about, chus hazman, chus mikomo. And in addition, ve'en chayavim aleha mishum pigul, if indeed the korban was a pigul, that's terrible. It's a pigul. If anyone would eat the meat of this korban, it's chayav karis. So we have a korban that is a pigul, and somebody came and eat some of any of these parts, one or more of these parts that we just listed, that would not be the isra of pigul. That person would not be chayav karis, because he's eating something that's inedible or something that's not considered food. In addition, even if the animal is kosher, it's not that we had a pigul, this is a kosher korban, and it was venosar, and it was left over, these parts after the time that you're allowed to eat the meat of the korban, and somebody came and ate it, again, because these parts are inedible or not regularly eaten, the person would not be chayiv kares for that. And in addition, again, if the korban is kosher, and if somebody was tame, ate the meat, that would be chayiv kares. However, if somebody ate any of these parts, again, because they're inedible or not regularly eaten, even if a tame came and ate of the kosher korban, but he ate of these parts, again, there would not be a chiyuv of karis. It could be that it would be prohibited for other reasons, for if it were the pigul situation, the noser situation, or the tame situation, but in all each of these three situations, there would be no chiyuv karis. Mishnah is going to take a step further than what we saw in the prior Mishnah, where we discussed if somebody is doing the shechit on an animal, and he has improper thoughts, either a chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano, but he was thinking, I'm going to eat something that is inedible. It's just not edible. Or something that's totally insignificant. You have strings of meat that's on the bottom of a pot together with spices. And we said there that in those situations, if it's a chutz limkomo, you're not going to violate the law. If it's chutz lizmano, you're not going to make it pigul. And now in our Mishnah, we're fundamentally going to discuss if somebody, again, he is doing the shechita on an animal, and he has improper thoughts, the chutz limkomo, chutz lizmano, but it's about something that's not considered part of the animal. For example, as we'll see, a fetus in the animal, or the placenta, that is the membrane around that fetus, again, it's not going to violate the law. If it's a chutz limkomo, you're not going to violate the law. If it's a chutz lizmano, it's not going to make the animal pigul. So that's how we're going to start off our Mishnah. Hashochet es ha-mukdashim, somebody's a shechita on a mukdashim. Mukdashim means a female animal that is being brought as a korban, and he has in his mind the thought as follows, lechol, he's going to eat shlil oshilya, he's going to eat the fetus, or he's going to eat the placenta, bachutz. Bachutz here means either chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano, lo pigel. If it was a chutz lizmano, it's not going to make a pigel. If it's a chutz limkomo, it's not going to violate the law. And the reason the Bartanur explains is because the placenta, the fetus and placenta, they are not considered to be part of the animal. So because the chutz lizmano, chutz limkomo thoughts were on something that's not considered to be part of the animal, it's not going to cause us significant problems. The Rambam gives a different explanation. He says because these items are not fit to be eaten, so that would be a direct continuation of the prior Mishnah. But regardless, continuing in the balance of the Mishnah, in the next step in the Mishnah, all the Mefarshim would agree that it's not because it's something that's not fit to be eaten, but it's because the items we're about to discuss are not considered to be part of the animal. It's actually going to be a bird, continuing a bird offering. So hamolek torim bifnim lecho beitzeim bachutz. So we're talking now not about an animal offering that requires shechita with a knife, but a bird offering, torim or turtle doves that were brought for certain karbanos, and instead of a shechita with a knife, melika was done. The kohen would do effectively the shechita, but with his thumbnail. And that would be in place of the shechita on an animal. So for a tor, we have the melika. And he did it in the proper place, bifnim, but he had the improper thought. He's thinking now, I'm going to eat the beitzehim, the eggs that have been not laid yet. They're in the animal still. And he's thinking, I'm going to eat those bachutz. Bachutz means here either chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano. He has that improper thought. But because he's thinking about an item, the eggs that are inside the animal that are not considered part of the bird, la pigel, it does not cause the bird to be a pigel. It's either if he was thinking that he's going to eat it out of the proper location, so it doesn't violate the law. If he was thinking, I'm going to eat it shelo bizmano, it doesn't make the animal a pigel. Again, because we're talking about an improper thought, eating something that is not considered part of the animal, so that will not cause us a significant problem. And Continuing in the last part of the Mishnah, we're going to talk about if somebody indeed eats items that are, again, not considered part of the animal or bird. And we're going to talk about milk and eggs. And the first part of the Mishnah is going to talk about if somebody indeed ate the milk or the eggs of an animal that was a pigul. This animal became a pigul. The person bringing it had improper thoughts, chutz lizmano. The animal was a real pigul. Had he eaten the meat, that would have been an iser kares. But he didn't eat the meat. He ate instead, if it was an animal that was being brought as the korban, there was milk that was left in the udder, then the shechita was done. Or if it was a bird that was being brought, a tor, the turtle dove, he ate the unlaid eggs that were inside that animal. We will see here that because those are not part of the animal, it's not going to be chayav karet. So the Mishnah says as follows, chalev amuktashim, if we're talking about now about the milk in the udder, ubeitze sorim, or the unlaid eggs in the turtle dove. If somebody would eat it, ein chayavim aleihem mishum pigul. If somebody would eat those, there's no chiyuv pigul, even though the animal itself was a pigul, but because he's eating those food items that are not considered part of either the animal or bird, there would not be an isra of kares. And in addition, if it were a kosher animal, and somebody would eat what's called nosar. Nosar, again, we've explained it previously, is items of meat that are left over, and somebody eats it after the permitted time to eat them. But instead of eating the meat, that would be a chiyuv kares, the person here. It's after the time that you could eat the meat, but instead of eating meat of nosar, he ate the milk that was in the udder of the animal, or he ate the eggs that were inside the unlaid eggs that were in the turtle dove. There's not going to be a chiyuv karets for that nosar, again, because milk and eggs are not considered part of the animal or bird. And in addition, if somebody, Tameh, would come and eat, a Tameh who eats a kosher meat from a kosher korban, there would be a chiyuv karets. But here, if the Tameh came and eat the milk and the eggs, again, there would still not be a chiyuv karets because both milk and eggs are not considered to be part of the animal or the bird korban. Mishnah Vav is going to bring forth various possible other psulim when somebody is bringing a korban and they have improper thoughts, and we're going to discuss if these will invalidate the korban or not invalidate the korbanos. And in the end of the day, the Mishnah is going to conclude with a principle that will really recap the last three prakim that we have been learning together, and it is as follows: that the psulim that will invalidate the korban, or when somebody has in mind chutz limkomo, that he's going to do an activity, in particular the eating of the meat or the haktara, the bringing of the emurin, outside of the place of the mikdash, outside of the azar, the base of mikdash, that's the courtyard of the base of mikdash, or he has in mind that he's going to do it chutz lizmano, that he's going to do the zrika on the Mizbeach, but in the improper time, or that he's going to eat the korban in the improper time, or that he's going to do the haktara of the emurim of the innards on the Mizbeach in the improper time, that's chutz lizmano. Those are two main psulim we've been talking about. And the third psul that's based on the first perek is when it comes to korban Pesach and a korban chatas, if he had in mind shelo lishman, that he is going to bring them, but as a different korban. For example, he's thinking, I'm going to bring these as a korban ola, not that the Pesach is a Pesach and the Chatas is a Chatas. Those are the psulim, and we will see that those are the psulim and none other. So we're going to see as follows, Mishnah Vav, Shchato, al menas lahaniach damo os emurav lemachar. Here he did the shchita, and having the thoughts that what he's going to do is he's going to leave the blood or the emurim, and he's not going to do them at all. In other words, I'm going to leave them till tomorrow. Our classic chutz lizmano is when he has in mind that he's going to do the avoda, but at the wrong time. I'm going to do the avoda tomorrow. Here, and we'll read the Bar Tanur, a very important Bar Tanur for us, what's going on here at the beginning of our Mishnah. Lo shiach tirem lemachar. This isn't that he is having in mind that he's going to do an avoda the next day. If he has in mind that he's going to do the haktara, he's going to do an avoda the next day. He's going to do the zrika the next day. He's going to be makdir. He's going to burn the innards, the emurim on the mizbeach the next day. That is, and it's the wrong time because it has to be today, not tomorrow. That's a pigul. That's definitely a psul. But rather, what's going on in our Mishnah is ela al menashi aniach hakol lebachar v'lo yikterem. I'm going to leave everything for tomorrow, and I'm not going to do anything with them. So that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Not that he's thinking I'm going to do the avoda at the wrong time. I'm just going to do nothing with them. Shchato again. Shchato al menas laniach damo. I have in mind, I'm just going to leave the blood. I'm not going to do a zrik at all on it. Oh, as a mur of the machor, or I'm just going to leave the emurim. I'm not going to put them on the mizbeach till tomorrow. I'm not going to do it at all. Or in addition, that would be a chutz lizmano, but it's not chutz lizmano because he's not having in mind that he's going to do an avoda at the wrong time. Oh, lahotzi al nachutz, or he has in mind that he's going to take the emurim, and I'm going to put it outside the base of mikdash, or the meat that should be eaten, I'm going to put it outside the base of mikdash. But his thought at the time of the avoda is not that he is going to eat it or maktir it outside of the base of mikdash. He's just having in mind that he's going to put it outside the base of mikdash. So he's not thinking that he's going to do an avoda outside the base of mikdash. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda posel. Rabbi Yehuda says it's still a pos, it's still a psul. And Rabbi Yehuda's rationale is as follows: any act that if you would do it on the korban, that would invalidate the korban. Accordingly, if you have in mind that machshava, that thought when you do the korban, that you are going to do the act, it also invalidates the korban. So these are acts that we just discussed at the beginning of the Mishnah, that if you would simply take out the emurim, you would take out the basar and put it outside in the base of mikdash, that would invalidate if you did the act. So to the thought that you're going to do that is also going to invalidate the korban. And just like we said at the way beginning of the Mishnah, if you have in mind, I'm not going to do anything with the blood, I'm not going to do a zrika, I'm not going to do anything with the emurim at all today, I'm not going to do it, period, because that would invalidate the korban, the thought also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, will invalidate the korban. On the other hand, Chachamim Machshir and Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim, based on the Pasuk, a drush on the Pasuk, they are of the view that the only psulim we're talking about when it comes to chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano, if when doing the korban somebody has in mind that he's going to do the zrika, either chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano, the haktara, chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano, or eating the meat, chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano, that's a psul, but nothing else. And now we are continue that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are going to list out a number of thoughts that somebody has during the bringing of the, or shechita we'll talk about, of the korban, that will not invalidate the korban. So we're going to start out talking about a whole list of shechata al menas litno al gabe akevish. We're going to talk about at the time of the shechita, the person had in mind that the zrika is going to be in the wrong place, but the whole list, and we're going to be familiar with this list, we've seen it on a number of occasions, the thing here is that although he's having in mind, going to be in the wrong place, all of the wrong places that he's having in mind are still within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So it goes as follows, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shchato al menas litno al gabe akevish. If the person did the shchita and he has in mind, he's going to do the zrika not on the Mizbeach itself, but on the ramp leading to the Mizbeach. That's the wrong place. Shelo keneged hayesod, or he's going to do it on the Mizbeach, but it's not going to be on top of the air, an area that has the base that goes around the Mizbeach. And it has to be Kenegra Yesod. It has to be on top, on the Mizbeach, where the Mizbeach indeed has that Yesod going around, the foundation going around it. Or he has in mind, Liten Esa Nitanim Lamata Lamala Ve Nitanim Lamala Lamata. Or he has in mind, certain of the Korbanos, the Zrika is done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, some on the bottom, and he switches it. And the type of Korban that has to be on the top, he has in mind he's going to do on the bottom, and vice versa. Continuing, Esa Nitanim Bifnim Bachus Ve Nitanim Bachus Bifnim. Or if he has in mind the type of Korban that the Zrika has to be done on the Mizbeach outside in the Azor, in the courtyard, he has in mind that he's going to do it inside the other Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal. Or the reverse, he's having in mind that he's going to reverse the inside the ulam, inside the heichal, inside the base of mikdash. So he's reversing where he is going to do the zrika. It's in the wrong place. In all of these, Both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim agree that it would be kosher because the thought here is not, the chutz limkomo is not that it's outside of the Azorah. And continuing, other psulim we're going to talk about now, or having in mind that when he's doing one of the shechita, etc., he's having in mind an improper thought, but will it disqualify the korban or not? The answer is no, it will not. And these are the next grouping, thinking about people who were disqualified. And when he's thinking, disqualified people will either eat the meat of the korban, or disqualified people will do the avodah on this korban. So the person bringing it has in mind as follows, shiachlu tameim. People who are tamei are going to eat this korban. You're not allowed to have tamei people eating the korban. Shiachrivu tameim. Or he's having in mind that the haktara of the emurim, that's burning them on the mizbeach, will be done by people who are tamei. You can't do that. Shiachlu arelim, or people who don't have a bris, are going to eat the meat. It has to be people who have a bris. Shiachrivu arelim, or it's going to be people arelim who don't have a bris. They're going to do the haktar on the mizbeach. In all of those people are disqualified. But even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's still going to be a kosher animal, because once the zrika is done, the korban is kosher, and acts thereafter, and the acts thereafter would be somebody inappropriate, invalid, eating or doing the haktara, that would not invalidate the korban, because the korban is already valid once the zrika was validly done. And now we're going to have a couple of examples of potential psulim that are not psulim when it comes to the korban pesach. If the person has the improper thoughts, l'shaber atzmas ha-pesach, that he's going to break, or somebody is going to break the bones of the korban pesach. That's a law in the Torah. You're not allowed to break the bones of the korban Pesach, v'lachol himenu na, or he has the improper thought that he's going to eat from the Korban Pesach while it is raw, and you have to eat the Korban Pesach only when it's broiled. Again, these are improper thoughts, but they will not invalidate the Korban Pesach. Another psul that relates to all korbanas, he has in mind the thoughts, le'arev dam abedam, sulim, I'm going to take the proper dam, the blood from the animal, and before doing this rika, I'm going to mix it together with blood from an animal that was pusled, that can't be used, that zrika can't be done from. I'm going to mix them together and do the zrika. Again, all of these, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, are kosher. And here's the recap that we started the introduction of this Mishnah with. The only psulim that we talk about that will totally invalidate the korban are three. Number one is a machshava that it will be done, something will be done, one of the activities will be done, chutz lizmano, when we talked about that eating will be chutz lizmano, or the zrika will be chutz lizmano, or the haktar will be chutz lizmano, or the other, second psul is chutz limkomo, again, so he's having in mind that he will do those acts out of the azara, outside of the proper place. And the third psul, that it was based on the first perek, v'apesa v'achata shelo lishman, if he has in mind that the korban pesach or the korban chatas will be, is being brought for the wrong type of korban, for example, he's bringing him as an ola, that will also very much invalidate the Pesach and the Chatas.